Hey, y'all. You're listening to Chicklet and Libations. We're your hosts, Amanda
and Tony,
and we're bringing you all the best in spicy books that we love to read. This week, we are discussing Runaway Love by Melanie Harlow, featuring Veronica Sutton and Austin Buckley. Veronica runs out on her wedding upon finding her fiancé unfaithful and runs to Austin's home, becoming the nanny to his twins and stealing Austin's heart in the process. We were originally scheduled to discuss Blindside by Candy Steiner, but we decided to take this episode in a different direction. Thanks for joining us, and let's get running, running, and running, running, and running, running, and running, running.
Every episode, we pair a book and a drink. For Runaway Love, we created Ronnie's Roundhouse, which contains vodka, cherry juice, lime juice, sparkling lemon lime seltzer, and grenadine, topped with a slice of lime and a cherry. You can find this recipe on our Instagram page at Chicklet and Libations. Cheers!
Cheers! For those of you who haven't read this book yet, be aware that we will be discussing the book in detail, so this is your official spoiler alert. Also, there may be a trigger warning for rough sex. In Runaway Love, former Radio City Rockette Ronnie, aka Veronica, finds herself in small-town Cherry Tree Harbor, run down on love, luck, and money. Austin is in need of a nanny for his twins, Owen and Adelaide, and after a difficult interview, Austin eventually offers Ronnie the nanny job, and she moves into the garage apartment, and sparks begin to fly between the two. In classic Grumpy Sunshine fashion, Veronica melts Austin's rough edges, and the unit becomes a family.
I gotta say, Grumpy Sunshine's one of my favorite tropes.
I would agree.
Is there something wrong with me?
No.
Go and get help, Tony.
You might want to look into that a little bit more. No. I mean, hey, if there's something wrong with it, then I'm right there with you.
Yeah. So, excuse me. I know originally we were planning on talking about Blindside.
Yes.
But one of our book clubs, which we lovingly call the After Dark Book Club.
Mm-hmm. Shout out.
Whoop. hey, ladies. We read this book in that book club, and we loved it so much that we actually decided this would be the next one that we wanted to talk about on the podcast.
Yeah.
So we are changing things up a little bit. Sorry to ruin that for anybody who had already read Blindside and was expecting that, but it doesn't mean Blindside. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I was going to say, we'll do Blindside eventually, but I think this just kind of lined up very nicely, yeah. And it's also very, like, a very summery book too.
Yes.
The whole story takes place in summer.
Yes.
And so I was like, oh, even more of a reason that we should do this. So,
right.
But yeah, I agree with you on the Grumpy Sunshine thing.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is about the grump character in a man, but I mean, not going to lie, there were some points in this book that I was like super frustrated with Austin though.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, you're being like too much of a stick in
Agreed.
The mud. You know, I'm like...
Like, you need to start learning how to waver a little bit.
Yeah, like, you don't... Like, I get... I loved his character in the sense that he was this very committed single dad. And not only to one kid, but to twins.
Right. And unexpected twins.
Completely unexpected. Like, what
he And he's been a single dad their entire life.
Their entire life. They only see their mom 1 week a year.
Yep.
In the summer.
And she didn't want to be a parent. And so he said, yes, I want to be the dad. And he took full custody.
Full custody. Yeah, she
never
said,
looks back.
she told him that she was pregnant because they had like what, a one night stand.
They had
flings,
like a week or something. They were on vacation.
Yeah.
And had a thing.
They had this fling. And then, you know, she lets him know that she's pregnant. And she's like, well, I'm going to have the baby, but I'm going to give it up for adoption. And then Austin, when he was recounting this to Ronnie or Veronica, he was like, I didn't have to think twice. I just immediately said, I'll take it. And then Veronica was like, so like when she found out it was twins, like, what did you think?
Yeah.
And then I remember him talking about that part in the book and he was like, well, I just told her that I would take them both. And then he's like, then I hung up the phone and passed out. Like, how could you not?
Like 25 and committing to be a single dad of twins,
yeah.
having basically raised his siblings because after their mom died, he kind of stepped in to help so his dad could pick up more shifts and work more shifts, which was a big point of contention in the book for him, was that he always had this responsibility to his dad and to his dad's company.
Yes.
Because his uncle passed away, and that left half of this carpentry business, this renovation business, in need of help. Like, his dad was getting too old, aging out of that kind of a role. So he kind of stepped up to be the part-time parent for his kids, then stepped up to be the parent when he found out it was twins, and then stepped up even more to become a business partner for his dad. But I love how his dad handled it in the end, because this was such a point of contention for him, where he was adamant that he had to be there to support his dad.
That he was not going to bail on his dad. So, like, that was a hard and fast, I'm not.
Yep.
I'm and not then wavering
when he finally
on this.
Did, when he finally came up and was like, "Dad, I'm not going to do this." His dad was like, "Okay, great. I can be a full-time grandfather now." Like,
yeah.
Like, he was so relieved to be not having to think about.
He was ready to enter that phase of his life too.
They were both ready. And I thought that was, the timing was great for that, but he would never have done that if, you know, he hadn't. I don't think if he had met Veronica, I don't think he would have made that change.
No, I don't think so either, because like, she did a good job of just kind of like gently encouraging him to do that, but not pushing too much.
Right.
Because Austin is very hard headed and very stubborn, and he had to come around to that on his own time. Yeah. So she kind of planted the seed, and then he took it from there.
But she was also not like gruff about it and like,
no,
you have to do this. She was just like, "Hey, let's just talk about it. What does this look like for you?" And then through that, he was able to kind of see what he really wanted in life.
And I love how she did that, coming from the perspective or the angle of she's just really wanting to see him do something that he really loves and he's really passionate about, which was his own woodworking. And so she started
from that angle. Well, and he was very talented, from what it sounds like.
Very.
So definitely go for something like that if you've got the skill. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, for sure. No, it's fine. So I really liked that she took that angle and kind of brought it. I don't know. She just did it pretty tactfully for, you know, and to be honest, like, they didn't even know each other that long in the story. Like, the whole book, the time span is really just,
it's a couple of weeks.
A couple weeks. Yeah. And that's the whole book. And then like the epilogue,
right.
Spoiler alert, fast forwards a year later, but the whole book itself is only a couple weeks.
So. Yeah. Which is one of the things I thought was really funny, how the attraction was instant. I mean, he was like, this girl shows up on my doorstep in a wedding dress.
Literally.
For a nanny position.
she's like, hey.
And he's like thinking she's lost her ever-loving mind, you know? Like, she's walking around town in a wedding dress after having walked out on, he says at one point something like, "Oh, so she left her fiance at the altar, and then she went to Moe's for a burger," or something like that.
Yeah, he's like, "I don't understand how this," like, basically in the very beginning, he thinks that she's probably a little mentally unstable.
I mean, I feel like probably anybody would. And not only that, she doesn't have a car, so she's walking around town in this wedding dress. So I naturally would have been like, something either totally crazy happened, or like, it's probably an excellent story. But
super cool or good story. And also, like, does this girl need help?
Right. How do I
like,
help?
She's just, is like, she crazy? Wandering around with a big white dress on.
But I hated the fact that Neil, like, threw out all of her shit. Like,
oh, that was terrible. Yeah. So, like, the part where Austin agrees to take her back to Chicago to get what little belongings she still had or thought she still had in Neil's apartment that they had together. And she gets there, and he's just this absolute douchebag, and has quite literally thrown out all the rest of her belongings, including stuff that she had from her mom that her mom gave her before she passed away.
Yeah.
Which, I loved Austin in that scene, because he just couldn't take it anymore, and he just sucker punched him in the face.
You know, okay, so we do like talk, like, in our book club, we talked a lot about how we were all very excited when that scene happened, when Austin hit Neil, but I don't remember us actually talking about the beginning scene when she's in her wedding dress and roundhouse kicks Neil at the altar. So she's trying to tell him, "I'm not going to marry you," and he's like, "No,
he's not
having
it." He was like, "Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are." Like, not taking her seriously. Like, oh, just being like, "Oh, you're just being a girl. You're just being a female." And then she's like, "The fuck I am."
Right. Like,
she hikes up her dress and like
fucking kicks him in the face.
Kicks him right in the face and does like an actual whole like ballet kick move that we thought about using for our drink title.
Right.
But, we did
but that is else, how but... we got that title.
Yes. That's how Even we, though we came thought around about to Sucker it. Punch. Yeah. Yeah, Sucker Punch was a close runner-up, right. which
also would have been a great name because we did use lime in this, and mm-hmm. sometimes you think of, like, puckering up, and so is yeah. Sucker Punch. I don't know, I think that.
Yeah.
But I do like how you came up with the idea this time, Amanda, for, like, a boozy cherry limeade, which yeah. is exactly what this tastes like. It's so good. Like,
oh my gosh, it's so good.
I cannot wait to make pictures of this.
It's like...
And serve it at the... at the beach or the pool or
the
whatever.
Pool. It's like, the perfect cocktail for that because it's light so and we both really enjoy just the cherry flavor.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't help but like think like, okay, we really need to incorporate cherry into this drink because of
Cherry Tree Harbor.
Yeah, Cherry Tree Harbor, which another part of what I loved about this book is that it takes place in Michigan and
yeah.
it talks about it talks about Saugatuck, and I think, and that's like a really cute lakeside town. Saugatuck really? Is, yes. And so I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize at first that the book took place in Michigan. But so it was a little nostalgic for me when they were talking about like by the
so
water.
Is Cherry Tree Harbor a real place?
You know, I'm gonna have to fact check it. That because
so one of these days you're gonna have to actually like take me to Michigan and be my tour guide because.
Oh, for sure.
I've only heard great things about it. And then after meeting you, I've only heard even more great things about it.
I just love it so much.
Just
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought. Okay, so Cherry Tree Harbor, from what I understand, is fictional. However, which is what I was kind of thinking. So there's a city closer to the Upper Peninsula in Michigan. It's Traverse City. And that is... they're known for cherries. Like that's what they're known for. Traverse City cherries and like all this stuff. And so I was kind of thinking that maybe she modeled Cherry Tree Harbor after Traverse City.
Well,
so,
awesome.
That's what comes up when I looked it up really quick. But
well, add that to the list of places you're going to show
me. Oh my gosh. Traverse
someday.
City is so pretty. And then that's close to where, you know, cause the Mackinac Bridge connects the Lower Peninsula of Michigan to the Upper Peninsula.
I didn't know.
And
that.
Going over the Mackinac Bridge is just,
is it beautiful?
It's beautiful. And then the Mackinac Island is gorgeous.
Are you like high up having to go over? Because I mean, it's not like a place where you probably have to leave.
It's higher.
Like boats or whatever.
Yeah. Cause you can
not ships, right? You're not
ferries because if you want to take if you don't want to drive it, you can take the ferry to Mackinac Island, but
okay.
On the island there's no cars, so you just get around. They have a lot of horse and buggies.
What?
Yeah, they do.
It's like being transported
horse and buggy, walking or biking is big on the island.
Yeah.
But and then the island is famous for their fudge. Mackinac Island fudge.
I do love fudge.
But I digress.
I'm kind of addicted. I'm sorry. I'm totally off key. But Bucky's has that, what is it called? Tiger butter or something like that? Fudge.
I don't know about this.
It's tiger something fudge. I want to say tiger butter. I don't know. But it's like swirled and oh my gosh.
Mm.
Oh, I love that stuff. I could eat that. I mean, I try not to because it goes down so easy. You can eat so much.
It's a
much
little
of that.
Dangerous, I'm
Very
sure.
Very dangerous.
But yeah, that's just my little tidbit about my home state.
That's exciting.
That I loved that, this book took place in Michigan. And you know, when I submitted that, cause this was actually my submission that we voted for our book
really
club.
I got really bummed that my book didn't make it through, but my book was also about a nanny.
I know. Isn't that funny that
so
both like unbeknownst to the other one put in these submissions, but
I'm kind of hoping we maybe do that somewhere along the line, maybe for the podcast or something.
Yeah, we totally could.
Because she was like on OnlyFans or something like that. And he was her.
Really?
Yeah. He would like check out her content. From what I understand, he was checking out her content. And the next thing you know, she becomes his nanny.
She ends up his nanny.
I don't think he knows that it's. I don't think either one of them know the connection, but somehow.
So he doesn't piece it together probably until later.
So,
okay, that's funny.
Right? That's why I think that sounds just really.
I think you should submit that again for our next quarterly book for the book club.
I'm going to submit every time until it gets through.
There you go.
Just kidding.
But it was just funny because when I submitted this, I had no idea the book took place in Michigan. I read the synopsis. I saw that it had really good reviews on Goodreads and it was a new book. It just was released, I think, last month.
Yeah.
And so I was like, this sounds fun. Like, let me submit this. And then there you go.
Well, I thought it was a great read. I'm excited that you submitted it because This is the first Melanie Harlow book that I've read.
Me too.
It will not be the last. And this book is actually part of a series.
Mm-hmm.
So the next one that we know is coming out is going to be involving Xander, which is one of Austin's
one of the siblings. Brothers. Mm-hmm. One of his younger brothers.
So I'm assuming every book coming out is going to center around one of the siblings from the Buckley family.
Yeah. I really I really enjoyed Xander and Mabel's characters. Yeah. I think that someone in our book club meeting was talking about how they wish that Mabel had more of a part in the story, which I agree, but also if she had more of a part, then Veronica might not have ever gotten the nanny job because she was taking her place.
I'm assuming she's going to get her own. Mm-hmm. So, so it starts off where Mabel is leaving for an archaeology dig. Mm-hmm. And so she's been Austin's nanny. The twins' nanny. And
Austin's nanny. Well, that's interesting.
Not a nanny for her brother, but
that
for her brother's
a quite
children.
Different picture.
So she's leaving and they're in desperate need of a nanny, and then wow, this runaway bride just happens.
She just shows up, and Mabel loved her from the start.
They
and
like
she
bonded
was like,
over Hamilton music.
Right, Hamilton. Oh, again, that part I love too because Hamilton is my favorite musical. Sidebar about Hamilton, really quick. I don't know what is in the soundtrack, but I can seriously listen to it on repeat and never get tired of it. And I can't really say that about any other soundtrack. Honestly.
Interesting.
It's so good.
I can say that I'm a Phantom of the Opera.
Have you seen it or listened to it?
I have not seen it. I have heard some of the music, but I don't think I've heard all of it.
It's so good. Just like, you have to listen to it in chronological order, like from start to finish, because the story that it tells is just, it's brilliant. And Lin-Manuel Miranda, he's
genius.
Like, anyways, digressing about Hamilton. But I forgot about that part that they talked about Hamilton.
No, I got all excited because she was like watching Ted Lasso at one point. I was like, I just finished that. I was like freaking loving that
show. She's like,
had
a glass of wine and watched a couple episodes of Ted Lasso. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, is she in
Tony's
place?
Now, it didn't say
place,
anything
or
if she's like in love with Roy Kent like I am. Yeah. But I mean, I think she should be because he's amazing. But again, let's talk about Grumpy Sunshine because Roy Kent is the ultimate grump. And have you seen the show?
I've seen a couple episodes.
Okay, so there's this one episode. Well, there's multiple episodes. We find out that he's got like this metal allergy or something like that. So he can't use a whistle. So he just yells out. He just yells out, whistle, whistle.
He can't use a whistle.
Stop, yeah.
Oh no, do his lips like swell way
know.
Up or something?
Like, it didn't go into it. It just said like, it just happened at one of the practices that he was trying to get everybody. And he was like, all right, guys, whistle. And like everybody took off. And I was like, what? And then later on they bring it up and somebody says that like, he's allergic to metal.
That's why
and
he's yelling
so
whistle because
well,
he can't blow it.
Plastic whistle.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, duh. But those exist. It was so funny because it became a part of his character where he's like,
whistle.
Like, what?
Oh, that's so funny.
Love that guy. And he's so, and Brett Goldberg.
I need to watch that from
I forget his
start
name.
To finish. Because I
so good. Looking.
You've shown me an episode. I watched like a few when it first came out with my brother and sister-in-law, but I need to like watch because it's on Apple and I have Apple, so might
it's
as well.
So good. You definitely need to utilize that.
I know. I need
subscription.
To.
Shrinking is also good if you're watching on Apple TV.
Oh, I've heard of that too.
Very entertaining. Harrison Ford's in it, and yeah. Anyways, so not on topic of this book.
Yeah,
but,
moving back to the book,
we're really you good know how about we, our little rabbit trails.
You know how we get going on different topics, but
do you
want to
know?
Oh, do we? We know.
I feel so bad because I'm still like clearing my throat a little bit. So we had a laugh fest before we started recording, and then we both started like coughing and
then having to clear our throats over and over and over again. I don't know what's in the air.
It's definitely there's something stuck in our throat.
Well, that's what she said.
Speaking of things getting caught in the throat.
Yes.
Austin had a list, which I thought was pretty sexy, where he's like mentally making a checklist of things he wants to do with
Nanny. Wants to do to Veronica.
Wants
and
her
I'm
to
like,
sit on his face.
Okay.
Wants her on her knees. Like,
Talk about like uptight in the best kind of way. Making a list about that.
Super exciting. And then when he gets all excited about her doing yoga, and then that one time when he barely contain himself,
he's like, "Oh my god!"
What's that one when they're in bed, or I don't remember, were they in bed or were they? No, they were in the dining room, I think. When he was like, "That pose you do, where you do this
when you're on all fours,"
And so she does it, and then he's like, "Stay right there."
Yeah, and he runs and gets the condom and comes back in like 15 seconds.
Oh my gosh, he was like super super hot for her. Mm-hmm. But I loved that scene where she's like, "Hey, are you coming home for lunch?" And he's like, "No, I was gonna work," or something like that. And she said, "Oh, I have your favorite meal planned," or whatever. And she's like laying on the dining room table in her skippiest underwear. And he's like, "I'll be there. I'll be right there." And she's like, 20 minutes later, he found me laying on the dining room table for him, or whatever. Like, hey.
That's right. It was like an afternoon delight.
And like that's one of my things. That's one of my favorite things is the whole meal.
So, okay, yeah.
I think we talked about that
also
before.
Super
with,
spontaneous, which is great. So I like that. I do. Like catching you off guard and like super spontaneous, not planned, and like just go with the flow kind of thing. That's hot.
But
that's hot.
I just loved how she wrote all of the sex scenes, like the shower.
There was so much variety.
Where he like walks in on her in the shower and like he's already fucking hard. Like,
yeah, he's like ready to go.
So they only have sex while the kids are gone.
Gone
for 1 week. Was it 1 week?
With their mom. In California. Mm-hmm. And he was very like, so they definitely like kissed and made out a couple times before the kids. But and then he was like, "No, we can't do this." Like that was a momentary lapse in judgment. And Veronica, that was my cord. Okay. Oh no. I promise you that was the cord. Veronica is like, "Why can't we like just, you know, just," she's all like kind of loosen up a little, or like, "We are obviously clearly very attracted to each other." And, but he was very much, "No, we're not doing this. We can't do this. This is inappropriate." Like, I can't.
And Xander's like, "She's not a teenage nanny. She's, you're both as consenting
she's
adults."
She's not like, she's not exactly a teenage babysitter. Like, but this is way different.
When like his, insecurities or whatever first came to a head when they were at the Broken Spoke, and that guy Gary or somebody came out to dance with her, and he was like, at first Austin was like, I don't want to dance, even though she was asking somebody to dance with him. So this other guy comes up and asks her to dance, and he goes into like super, "No, you can't be dancing with her, blah blah blah." He let them, but then he was like, "You're not dancing the next dance." And then so like she walks away from him, and he follows after her and like pins her against the fucking wall at the bar, and
so hot.
Okay.
And they just start making out, and it's just really super hot. There's so many of those scenes though, because there's this push pull like dynamic between the two,
and she's never like withholding her feelings. She's every single time she's like, "I'm interested." What's
from the
beginning? Deal?
Yeah.
It's always him having to like fight his own self, saying like, "This is wrong for whatever."
Well, and it comes back to him not allowing himself to be truly happy,
right?
Because he's never put himself first. He's never prioritized his happiness.
He never goes for what he wants.
He's never had the opportunity, though. Like, you know, like we said in the beginning of the episode, he had to help raise all of his siblings, and then he got saddled with twins at 25. And he even says in the book, like, the twins are what, 7, 8 years old
in
the book?
7, if I remember correctly.
All of those years he's been celibate. Like he hasn't been with any woman, like no woman has been over. And so, I mean, it's kind of a really big deal for him to do this.
Well, and then Ronnie
more of a testament to
how
much they were, how much they were like attracted and ultimately meant for each other. Mm-hmm. I mean, and if without that, there wouldn't be a book. Right.
But like right from the get go, he's like, can't keep his hands off himself. He meets her and he's like, okay, well, if I can't have her, this is the best I can do. And then he's like fantasizing, and then he's like beating himself up for fantasizing about her. Yeah. And he just wants her so bad. I mean, I'm glad this all ended up with him happily ever after, you know, like that they ended up together and he proposed and all that kind of stuff in the epilogue. But
yeah, I liked that there wasn't like a designated blow up fight
right
in second act breakup or third act breakup, whatever you want to call it.
Well, there kind of was. was, because
there was some like friction, but
well, there was when he asked her to stay on as his nanny, and she was like, what? "Ooh,
yeah, that was cringy." I'm sorry, so cringy. Austin,
I need a reason to stay such a in dumbass. Cherry Tree Harbor, and he's like, "Come and be my nanny.
Please stay and be
what
my nanny."
Fuck, what? Dude,
like, no, I'm not gonna do that.
She's in love with you. Ugh. You just want to like scream at these people. Like,
I know.
I know they're fictional, but
yeah. So I guess that was. I mean, I guess that was, let's delineate that here. I guess that was a bit of a third act breakup,
yeah.
Kind of ish. There's definitely contention there.
But it's hard to say breakup because they never really had that period of time.
Yeah.
When the kids are gone, we can be together. Okay, right. Cool.
But they never said that they were like
a couple
exclusively in a relationship, right, or a couple or anything. So you can't really say breakup, say,
right?
But kind of.
Yeah. I mean, it felt like a breakup, even though it was just, he was being stupid. And she just, even at that time, she was like, okay, hey, hi, what's going on? He's like, where have you been? And she's yeah, like, she I was at the bar. And like, she's totally straightforward with him. Like, yeah. She's not hiding anything. She's like, I went out with Ari, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and she strikes up this friendship with Ari, and yeah, they start doing more stuff together and going out. And meanwhile, he's just like stewing at home, uh-huh, every night that she's not there.
Just not getting what he wants and withholding, yep, what she wants. And
yep, exactly. I mean, so he kind of like really screwed them both over in a sense. Yes. In the like the three quarters of the way through the book, right? Yeah. But
I like how he kept going, I can hear Xander's voice in my head is yeah, going, you're a fucking idiot.
You're a fucking idiot, yeah.
I'm like, I don't know how you read that line when you were reading it, but like, you're, yep, a fucking idiot.
Oh, pretty much.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason, like, one of the reasons that I liked Xander's character is because he was very straight shooter, like,
yeah,
upfront. Like, I mean, he saw it from the beginning because he was the one that first pointed it out to Austin, like, she looks at you.
Yep.
She looks at you. And you look at like, her. And like, you look at her just the same.
Both of y'all are staring at
you
each other.
You can't keep each other's eyes off of each other. Or you can't keep your eyes off each other.
Yeah, how do you keep each other's eyes off each other? By holding up mirrors.
Telepathically?
I think you have to hold up a mirror so that somebody can't look at you. And then you're keeping their eyes off of you.
But their eyes on them. Anyways. But yeah, Xander says that like right in the beginning,
yeah,
one of their first times that she was over at the house and he was there too. And I don't know if it was over dinner or something, but he was like, y'all look at each other. And it's not just a,
yeah,
glance. It's like you're looking each other up and down and
I love Xander so much. Like, I literally can't wait for the next book to come out because it's, mm-hmm, his story. But, you know, so he's a former Navy SEAL, right? And he is trying to open a bar. And he sees his brother, like sees Austin for who Austin is, mm-hmm, and is like, you're an amazing, you know, you do this like wood reclamation so well. I want you to make my bar top. And like, even, yeah, has to go through a bet just so that he can get the bar top made that he wants.
Yeah.
So he's supporting his brother, even though they didn't always, you know, get along when they were growing up and they would have fights, right, and stuff, which I thought was really funny that the mom would like set a timer and let them have at each other.
Yeah, let them just go at it in the backyard and then they would be crying afterwards. Yeah. She'd be like, well, you did this to yourself.
I told you so.
Like, I'm like, actually, that's not a bad tactic.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what do you want?
Yeah.
But no, like, so he does. And then he's supportive of him. Like, he's picking up the kids and playing with them. And I'm going to take the kids to go get ice cream so you guys can have, like, mm-hmm, he's such a cool uncle/brother.
Yeah. Very involved, story, too.
Yeah.
Very involved.
So I know that they're, if I remember correctly, Mabel, Xander, Dash.
Devlin.
Devlin.
And Austin.
And Austin. So I'm excited to see kind of how she, like, pushes each of these stories out. But
yeah,
I guess so far from what I know, like, if I had just heard about each of these characters, I wonder if I would have lent more towards Xander to begin with.
Oh,
like for me personally,
personality wise,
crush of the family, I would have probably been like, because I'm not really into like the whole actor thing. And
yeah, I think, you know, that fame. When I was younger, I might have been more,
yeah,
like,
oh yeah, I wanted
attracted to that. Okay. But I mean, there are certain actors that I was pining over when I was younger, but
yeah, like the Lawrence brothers, was that before your time?
No, definitely. Like,
I can't tell, you're so,
oh,
young.
Wait, you said Lawrence and I was thinking Hemsworth,
not Hemsworth brothers, very different brothers. I'm like, talking like, no, Joey, Matthew, and Andrew.
Yeah, don't have any idea who those people are.
Oh my word.
What are they in?
Like so much. Not anymore. So much when I was a kid. Florence, so Florence. They were actually, I think the three of them did like a show together too. I feel like they were like brothers in a garage, worked on cars, something like that. Hmm. Joey, I think, got his start on Blossom, which if you watch Big Bang Theory, I'm going to say her name wrong. Mayim Bialik, Big Bang Theory. No.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Yes.
So she was in the show called Blossom growing up, and her, okay. I think it was her brother was Joey, and he was famous for being like, whoa, like that was his catchphrase or whatever. And then the middle brother is Matthew, and that's who I always had a crush on. He was on Boy Meets World.
Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
Love that show.
And then Andrew was, he's been in a couple things. I don't know if I could tell you anything right immediately off the top of my head, but, they were in things together, like, okay. throughout their careers. And I think Joey eventually went and did, like, Dancing with the Stars or something like that. But,
Brothers. Okay. Yeah,
I always had a crush on Matthew. He was my favorite. But,
Yeah, I totally thought you... I heard
Yeah, Hemsworth. I said Lawrence and you heard Hemsworth.
I heard Lawrence, but I processed it as Hemsworth. And I'm like, no, that wasn't before my time. No. Very much my time
you
right
know
now.
Exactly who that is. Yeah.
Like, I know those brothers. Like, who doesn't?
Yeah.
But yeah, I was trying to think why we got into that. Or we were talking about celebrities and... celebrities you were pining over, like, when you were younger. Now, like, present day Amanda would be all for choosing a former Navy SEAL versus yeah. a celebrity. For sure. Nice. So I agree. There goes my cord again. Did you hear that? It was like a little accordion.
Okay. I'm going to do a little show for you. Cord. Okay, this is Joey in the middle. He's the oldest. So I'm having to show photos so that you can see. And then okay. this is Matthew on the far right. Boy yeah, Meets World. And then this is Andrew. He's the youngest.
All very good looking, for yeah. sure.
But like...
What character did he play in Boy Meets World?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that. Oh, Brotherly Love. That was the one where they were in together. So this is like...
Wow, that's super old. Yeah.
Yeah. it was super old. Damn you. So it was like the 90s, you know. Yeah. But I'll have to look it up. There's 12 Lawrence Brothers... shows and movies. I'm sorry, I'm totally off track.
No, it's fine.
I'll show all of this stuff to you later. Like,
sounds good.
I just let the podcast go on pause while I continue to show
yeah,
you
I'm
these.
Sorry. Y'all don't mind, right? Tony needs to scroll back.
Does anybody remember the Lawrence Brothers? Is it just
chime in? Like, hey, chime on. In if you do. Send us an email, comment on our Instagram.
I want to say Joey was popular Brotherly in the Love. 80s, and then they all kind of got popularity and the 90s, probably because of Brotherly Love.
Okay.
Anyways, such a
See,
great...
I wasn't even a blip on the radar in the 80s, so...
I'm sorry. Could you guys hear my eyes rolling? Because that was...
I certainly could.
Probably the biggest I've ever rolled my eyes at somebody's face directly. Maybe I do that a lot behind people's backs.
You're like, actually, I do that on a weekly basis.
I mean, my eyes have all these extra muscles because of how much I roll them.
You work out your eyeballs.
I do.
Around the world. Oh, man. Anyways. Okay. So I have a question for you.
Okay.
So do you have a favorite sex scene?
Yeah, the dining room table.
Okay.
I guess we established that. I was like.
That's pretty good.
Yes, please. Do you have one?
I kind of really enjoyed their first time together. I mean, who doesn't, right?
Yep.
Like, the tension's finally over. It reaches its climax. Ba-dum-bum-tsh.
Ooh, good word
but
choice.
But I also, thank you. I also enjoy.
How many points is that on Scrabble?
I don't know, but it's got to be in the double digits, okay? It's got an X.
Oh, wait. Sorry, I'm totally, like, interrupting you because this other book I'm reading right now, they're actually playing...
Scrabble?
Uh-huh. Like, the guy challenged the girl to a Scrabble match, and he said all the dirty words count for double points.
Okay, that's amazing. What book is that?
It's called Happiness for Beginners by Catherine Senner.
Oh, that one.
The movie's about to come out on Netflix, or maybe it's already out.
Yes, I knew that it was being put into a movie or made into a movie.
So I started reading it on vacation, and that's hilarious.
That is so funny.
All the dirty words were.
I'm gonna have to add that to my TBR.
Although I think he came up with one when he was like, "That's a triple." I forget what the word was, but he came up with, somebody said it and they were like, that's definitely a triple word right there. I don't remember what it was. But anyway.
You were saying. I was saying the first time that they finally get together is one of my favorites. And then I really enjoyed the shower scene too. Yeah. The shower scene.
What about when he like ripped Neil's shirt off of
her body? That was like, oh, you are like,
she's like
so possessive right now.
This is the
super
only
hot
sleep shirt I have.
And then she's like, wait, why did you rip it in half?
I mean, it makes sense. It was Neil's shirt. And he's like, nothing of that guy's will ever touch your skin again. Oh my gosh.
Like, whew. Austin.
I almost have to take my clothes off just repeating that quote. Yeah. It's hot.
The lipstick scene.
Yeah. Okay. Every time she brought out like her lipstick just to be herself, like the fact that Neil hated red lipstick.
Yep.
And then the fact that
Austin in the very beginning, he was like, no, only nude lipstick. Yeah. Neil was like, you are not allowed to wear, because my mother doesn't like bright colored lipstick. And she was like,
yeah,
no, fuck that. Like, how
I'm gonna fucking do what I want.
Yeah.
Here's some red lipstick.
Ridiculously controlling is that.
It's funny that you said it ridiculously. Because then with
Austin's dick. do an about face, like 180 degree turnaround. Austin loves it.
Yes.
And she really put that lipstick to good use.
I mean, it makes sense. So she was a Rockette, and I think that they do, like, aren't they very
prominent lipstick, and just their really bright, vibrant colored outfits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's probably like some sort of a rule, like you have to wear like hot pink or red lipstick as a Rockette. So
I really loved, like, I know that she didn't go into a lot of detail about like the life of a Rockette, but I thought it was really fun because that's not really something you read about a lot in books.
No.
I feel like you don't get the Rockette, it's not a trope. It's not out there as
it's
like,
not
a
like a commonly, it's not
trait,
a commonly used like profession.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's actually like super unique.
Yeah. So I loved that part of it.
I liked how she used that, and then eventually toward like at the end of the book, she opens her own little dance studio and kind of, it starts with like the twins, right? And how she was like just taping old coins to their shoes to make tap shoes.
How freaking cute.
And then the twins just loved it. And they even like, I think they even took their tap shoes to California with them when they left.
And remember when she hosted a singles night at the senior center or something like that. And like did a dance, thing for them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Austin was like, my dad's never gone to that ever. And all of a sudden you're teaching and now he's there.
He's all about it now.
Which I thought was so cute.
It was really cute. But yeah, I really liked that she kind of just transitioned. She didn't completely lose that part of her past. She brought it with her and, you know, and that kind of also brings me to a point that I wanted to talk about and how, I liked how Veronica, like, she didn't outwardly in the beginning say that, you know, she couldn't be a nanny and stuff like that. But she also didn't, like, she had confidence in herself.
Yeah.
Even though she'd never done something like that before, right?
She's like, oh, must have their own car, must know how to cook.
Know how to cook.
What was the other thing?
She was like, okay, I'm going
to
learn.
I have none of those things, but I'm ready to
learn. But I'm going to learn. And she
was motivated.
I can
make a fried bologna sandwich.
Yeah. And then she did for Austin, and he thought it was super delicious. Yeah. And it was really cute. But yeah, I
tell you the last time I had bologna.
I really liked how she kept that confidence in her and didn't like, she didn't waver on the fact that like, this is completely new territory for her. She didn't shy away from it. And I feel like I could use some of that confidence myself in, you know, some aspects of life, but I did like,
but she also wasn't like hiding of it. She was like, hey, I'm forthright. I don't know this stuff. I don't have this experience.
Right.
But I have these skills, and these skills will equate to, you know, learning and a passion for making sure that I do all of these things.
Yeah.
Right.
And she just had like a natural gift to, for the kids and just being with the kids. And she did a really good job at keeping a schedule every day and making sure they get to summer camp and stuff like that. So, excuse me, just natural gifts that she had. But yeah, so you have some notes.
I have written some notes. About. Well, so I was just thinking, like, we haven't even really touched on the very opening scene of the book, which was so messed up, right? So,
oh yeah,
she's in the room. Veronica's in the room getting ready for her wedding, getting dressed up, doing her hair and makeup alone, because her maid of honor just gave birth and wasn't able to make it, and all of her bridesmaids are Neil's family or friends. I mean, he totally isolated her, and I hated that. But then she gets a dick pic from him.
Yeah.
And asks, and he's asking for an afternoon delight for Valerie. What was her name? Some other V name.
Valerie.
Very clear that he sent it to the wrong V person name.
Yep.
That's how she finds out for sure
that
he's been like sneaking around on her or whatever.
Unfaithful.
And then, so then she tries to call it off and everything. We talked about all of that, but I was just like, the fucking nerve.
Mm.
On the wedding day, he's like,
how?
Sending dick pics to other girls. I'm like,
how dare you? I don't, just disgusting, vile. I hated that for Veronica, but also that really helped shape her whole character,
right.
though. Not that I would wish that on anybody, but...
Because I had all the same thoughts that, like, the town people and Austin, everybody had their reservations about, here's a girl and she doesn't have any social media and she doesn't have any prospects. She doesn't have any money. She doesn't have any family. Why is she so alone in a world that's surrounded by, like, technology?
Yeah.
And then you find out that Neil had been so controlling in the way that he was like, this is what you wear and this is... where you go and this is who you associate with.
He shut off her cell phone. Like she had literally.
You have to abide by this image.
Yep. This is just what you have to do to fit into this society and to this family. And she was like, okay, I guess but she never felt, like that was comfortable or that was good for her. You know, deep down she was very much like, this is not a good thing, but yeah, the fucking nerve,
right?
Damn wedding day. I couldn't.
What a jackass.
Mm-mm. Nope. And I just love the fact that she just kicked him square in the jaw.
Yeah. Agreed.
Just right in the jaw. But yeah, so that was one of the things in your list of notes. And then anything else that you wanted to?
It's all a matter of being able to read my handwriting again.
And you're like, can I decipher this or not? I see a smiley face.
What about when he leaves bruises on her because they're so into it?
Oh.
And he's like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And she's like, does it make me a horrible person? Then I want you to do it again.
And then I'm turned on by seeing them on me.
it's a bit of a possessive thing, but it's hot.
Yeah.
I mean, in the right... Context.
Very super consensual.
Hot. Yes.
Equally consensual on both sides.
If you're finding a theme here on this podcast, it's that consent's important in
consent
our opinion.
Is always 100% important and needs to be.
I was just so surprised. This is a bit of a rabbit trail, but so surprised. And I'm not going to yuck somebody else's yum if this is your thing, but I mean, I might. Okay. No, I can't say that. I am going to yuck.
You're like, because, no, I am though.
Because I don't understand the non-consent books. Like, I don't, there are people who love that. I get it. If you're one of those people, I don't mean to be offensive to you, but I just don't.
It's just hard for us to understand.
It's hard for us to see the excitement in
that.
The appeal in that, especially for a society where that happens,
And, a lot.
Anyway, so I'll digress off that because that's a touchy subject. But I'm all for, if you guys are doing things healthy and consensually and taking things a certain way, absolutely go for it.
Mm-hmm.
Explore all you want. But I just, that's just one thing I don't think that I'm ever going to understand personally.
Yeah, I don't think that I'll understand that either. And I know there's, like you were saying, there's a big kind of like movement on like book talk and things like that where people really like that. And I just, I try specifically to stay away from that. And I don't, I'm particular about what books that I am going to put like on my TBR as far as spice and smut and whatever else you want to call it. Yeah, and that's just not something
we're not going to be doing those on this podcast. Sorry.
No.
Sorry, not sorry.
But yeah, the consensual brief, like, oh my, he was
bruising,
like
marking.
Yeah. Like kind of brand, not branding, but like also like I put that there on you. And Austin was a little hesitant at first when he saw them the following morning and he was like, oh my gosh, are those marks for me? And she was like, yeah. And I love them. And he's like, he's basically like, oh, okay, good. Because I love seeing them on you and stuff like that.
There is that scene where like, when he kind of like, after he's decided that they're not going to be together, and the kids are back and he starts giving her the cold shoulder and everything. Mm-hmm. But then he like comes at her one night and, she's like, you can't keep doing this. Like you can't, you're giving me mixed signals. Like you want to be with me, but then you don't.
And at that point he was being unfair.
Yeah. And he was put being like very a mark unfair on her neck or something like that.
Yes.
And then she was, if she was actually trying to like hide it and that was different.
She put her hair down and because she was trying to hide it, which I'm completely on Veronica's side in that kind 100%. Of thing. It's like, you can't keep doing that. You can't eat your cake and have it too. Okay, buddy? Eat your cake.
Said it backwards. But yeah, that's why I was... Oh. My can't have your cake and eat it too. You said it the same... You said it right. You just said the words... The phrase is backwards. I flip-flopped
them.
So in my brain, damn I was it. Like, wait, was that right?
Because I've like... I was trying to figure out what that look was on your face. Because you were like...
It's just my face.
That's just how my face looks. I have a weird face. You can't have your cake and eat it too. Correct. That's what I meant to say. And that's what I wanted. That's what I was yelling at Austin when I was reading the book. Like, you can't do that to her. That's not fair to her. So figure your shit out.
But I love that, you know, she took to Owen and Adelaide and she had wanted a family. So she came into the family and she became a part of it. And the kids obviously loved her. The kids seemed very well-rounded for a couple of 7-year-olds who didn't have a mom, you know. But I think, I think too, Austin's family being so loving and generous with their time and their energy and stuff towards the kids, I think that was a big
made
part.
A really positive influence on them and their upbringing, for sure. Okay, so we talked about the bruising, and then after the bruises that she did her whole lipstick thing, right? Where she started marking him, and he specifically kept a lipstick mark like on his like upper neck or chest or whatever the next day.
He was like, "This is like war paint. I can't get. Or what do you say? Like, military
I'm
grade.
I'm not gonna take this." Yeah, he was like,
"Because I hear it in one."
It was probably like lip stain or something. Like
it had to have been.
Which, super smart on her part, actually.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like maybe these cherries are giving us lip stain.
Oh, yes. I mean, very red.
Maybe not as much as, you know, war paint.
The actual war paint and lip stain that Veronica used.
I don't know. I feel like I have a red tongue, red lips.
Actually, your tongue looks normal.
What? I think looking at my tongue, that's such a weird thing.
I think it's more or less the glasses are tinted red, right? Oh. It's like an ombre effect. Which y'all will see on our photo, but
I love that I found these.
Yeah, I was going to say, you found them thrift shopping, right?
I found them at Big Lots.
Big Lots? Big really? Lots.
Yeah, I realized when you were taking a sip that the price tag is still on the bottom.
You sure did. For some reason, I thought you found these thrift shopping. Mm-hmm. But
well, we were talking about maybe doing some thrift shopping to find us some glasses. Mm-hmm. But
okay. Reminds me of that song.
Do you remember going back to the scene?
$20 in my pocket. You don't know that song? Thrift shopping?
Thrift shop. I forgot about it.
Looking for
But at first, I just heard you mumbling.
Awesome. Anyways, go ahead.
And running.
And running. And running.
So, the scene where we talked about this scene specifically where Austin hit Neil.
Yes.
And Neil was being such like a dope about it. Like, who are they
broke my nose. Get an ambulance. Call a surgeon. I'm like, shut the fuck up.
Hate that guy. But then they get in the car and she's like having a meltdown or whatever. And Austin's like, I have every reason right now to ask, or every desire to ask her if she wants to get in the back seat so I can make her feel better or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I was like, hey. Okay. Yes.
Anybody feel good after a confrontation like that? Uh-huh. Like, that's going to be the way.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, guys, like, take notes.
Yeah, seriously.
Take somebody hurt you, let me make you feel better.
Detailed notes. Your face when you said that. I wish, you know, sometimes I wish we were also video recording. Episodes no. To go on YouTube someday maybe that will happen. Okay,
I have to start putting makeup on for our podcast episode.
True. It's kind of nice just having a voice made for podcasting and not a face for TV. Anyways, yes.
Whatever, this face is totally made for TV. I mean, maybe my own TV.
The Tony Show.
Tony.
Too far, Tony.
Okay. Oh, damn it. I knew it. I knew I was going to get there. So apparently my dogs are also too far dogs. So Goose is just wackadoo. And
wackadoodle. It is wackadoodle time.
He got the dip off the counter.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And the way I knew he had the dip was
weird
when I came into the kitchen and he's got splattered ranch dressing all over his face.
Literally, like, up his snout.
It's like all over. Like,
I think it was also, like, in his eyelashes, his eyelid, and everything.
Top of his head, everything.
Yeah, we were doing our photo for the book and the drink and everything. And then she's got this supersonic hearing. Like, she knows when he is up to no good. And that was the second time that he was, like,
face
in the dip.
Yep. So, but then Daphne, when I was gone this last weekend, our friend who was also watching the dogs when I was gone, was telling me that Daphne was actually biting her. Now, Daphne's a 15-year-old schnoodle. She's got no teeth, but she's
really more gumming her.
She was, I mean, yeah, but could you imagine if she had teeth, she could have, like, maybe hurt her. But it's weird because she doesn't ever do that with me. But one thing she does do with me is she's started, like, guarding her food. And I think it's because I brought a puppy into her life. And so she learned that she had to be, like, you know, telling him that he doesn't come around that area. So too far Daphne when she's in the room eating.
Too far Daphne, okay.
She's eating out of her food bowl in the room by herself. And she backs up and she starts barking at nobody. Nobody's in the room.
She's just like so used to doing that. She's like, I must defend it every time.
Exactly. She's like, poor thing. This is on guard.
She's like, who's going to fight me today?
It's my whole family. It's a too far family over here.
Too far family.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. Gotta love it. Gotta love it. Well, we have a few more minutes left. Any kind of like closing thoughts we did get some feedback, which I think that we're never going to be able to listen to these episodes the same again. We sound a little similar.
Yeah, we sound similar.
Tony, I did not know this about us.
Yeah, Amanda.
Did you?
No. And we didn't know it until we got this feedback and then we started recording tonight just to see what was, you know, to do our little quick soundbite.
Yeah, we always
and found
do
out we were like,
practice,
oh my gosh, we really do sound a lot
alike.
So we apologize that you guys have to decipher who is who.
Yeah.
But,
so just for the record, this is Amanda.
Yeah, Amanda's the more intelligent one.
Tony's
the too far Tony one. Hashtag too far Tony.
Hashtag too far Tony. but yeah, so we thought that was interesting because
you came and you gave without taking.
We did some singing before we started recording, too. We were getting kind of amped.
So I just need to know where all the Fanalos are because I was teaching.
That was probably my favorite part of this whole night. Okay, so Tony, this is Amanda speaking, by the way.
Tony, before we started recording, we were talking about nicknames. And because you saw a street that was titled Manda.
Manda Road.
Manda Road. And Manda is like my nickname that like all my family, friends call me or whatnot. And then Tony was like, well, you don't like Mandy? And I was like, I really don't. The only person my whole life that I was okay calling me that was my grandma. And she called me that my whole life. But every, like anybody else, I'd be like, no, please call me Manda or Amanda. And so then she was like, she's like, oh, have you heard the song? What is it called again?
I think it's called Oh Mandy. Oh Mandy. By Barry Manilow.
And so she's playing it. And then I was like,
and I'm like actually, singing it to you catchy. And everything.
Honestly, she was kind of serenading me a little bit. And
I
then,
don't have a great voice, so I apologize.
Give yourself a little more credit. It's not that bad.
Oh, Mandy.
Well, no.
You're like, too far, Jimmy.
You see, you took it too far again. Anyways, I was like, no. I was like, that, you know, that is kind of catchy. And then she was like, yeah, it's Barry Manilow. And I was like, I didn't know that was Barry Manilow. And then she goes, yeah, are you a fanilow? And I, when I tell you there were tears coming out of my eyeballs.
Oh my gosh. It was perfect.
I was not expecting that from you. You just said it. I'm so matter of fact. Sometimes. Like, yeah, are you a fanilow?
Are you a fanilow? I'm pretty sure that's what they call themselves.
I mean, they better, because that is so clever.
I mean, it sounds excellent, doesn't it?
Yeah, it just rolls right off the tongue. Yeah.
Fanilow.
Oh, it's Barry Manilow? Barry, are you a fanilow?
Fanilow.
Anyways, that's just a little insight into what we're like before we hit record.
We were getting all hyped up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we were also jamming to some Paul Simon.
We were. We were.
But then we tried to do a little like collaboration on songs. It didn't turn
a mashup.
Out well, so we saw
we tried to do a mashup. And I'm not gonna lie,
it wasn't right.
We're gonna stick to right. Podcasting.
Yeah, podcasting. Hopefully we're doing this okay.
Yeah, and you know what, if we're not, don't tell us.
Yeah. No. Thank you for not keep giving it us to that yourself. Feedback because
yeah,
I'm hashtag, sorry you just get who
sorry
you
not
are.
Sorry, this is how we do things here. By the way, because it's sitting right next to me, honorable mention to my donut pop socket.
Yeah.
It is here.
We talked about it at the last
in the flesh
episode, right?
We did. And now it's here. My
now
little,
I get to see it.
Now you got to see it. You got to see this and my bookish stickers.
It's so cute. Oh, and you got me a sticker.
I gifted you
and it
one.
Looks like for somebody who doesn't know much about the 80s, you got me a Grease style.
It's very
sticker.
Pink lady.
Very, a very lady. Much pink lady jacket that says, I tried to form a gang, but it turned into a book club, which
yeah.
I am responsible for two book clubs.
You and are. And so podcast, I so. Saw that sticker and was like, this I have to get and I will be getting it for Tony.
That's right. And I love it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
So considerate.
You're welcome. Hey, I like giving gifts. It's one of my
speaking,
love languages.
Considerate. What are we talking about? Brendan Taggart.
Oh, that's coming up
it's
soon.
Coming up, right? I know that we've got it coming up. So we've got
yeah, that's
we've
coming
got
up.
The Let's Bellinger see. Sisters. We've a doubleheader.
We're doing a
we've
doubleheader.
It happened one summer and Hook, Line, and mm-hmm. Sinker.
Yep. And that's coming up
I'm so excited.
In about 2 to 3 episodes, I believe.
As if I don't gush about him enough. Now we get a whole episode where I get to.
Oh, and then we're gonna definitely feature your book boyfriend bookmark because
yes.
It is Brendan Taggart.
It'll be out there. For all the world to see.
For everyone to see.
Everyone.
But only for Tony
yeah.
to...
He's my book boyfriend. Back off.
Do other things.
Everybody else loves Atlas Corrigan. Go with it.
Hey. That's mine.
Hey, that's what I'm saying.
He's
everybody
mine.
Else loves him. So I can keep Brendan and y'all can have Atlas. Y'all can fight over Atlas.
Well, you know, so
nobody
we have both...
Nobody ever wants Ryle.
You couldn't even get that out fast enough before you busted out laughing.
I got it. Oh my gosh. No.
Oh my gosh.
It makes sense. I mean, maybe some of these.
Too soon. Too soon. you know, we both have only read the first one of the Bellinger sisters. Is that leaking?
I don't know what that is.
Wait, is that marker?
I don't know, but I just like put my boob in it. pretty sure I just laid my boob in whatever.
Laid your boob?
Do I have marks on my boobs?
No, I don't see any. I'm looking right at your boobs.
Yeah, check them out. A little bit of this, a little bit of this.
You know, they're kind of perky. I like.
No. Well, it's because I tightened up my bra straps.
Oh. okay, because I'm over here like,
you ooh, gotta do that. Minor, give yourself like, a little boob lift.
Actually, that feels better.
Right? Huh. Less pressure off your back. Now you're just holding your boobs up. Might as well just like...
No, I'm... I'm holding the straps.
I know. And it makes it takes some of the pressure off, right?
Wow, yeah, it's not bad. Because I'm wearing like a bralette, so you can't adjust it.
Did you ever see that movie, The Sweetest Thing?
No.
Oh, my word.
Do I need to add it to my list?
Movie education.
You know, one of these nights I'll just come over and we'll just watch all of these classics that I have never seen before.
By the way, on Chick Chat.
Yes.
We talked about how I was going to read My Killer Vacation. I started it. I just
and I said I would finish Shadow and Bone.
Yeah, you need.
And I haven't yet. So we both did
half an episode. I know. Of that show. You need to finish it.
But one good thing is that I am all caught up on The Rookie, which is what I was binging. Right. So I can finish
Shadow and Bone. Well, I'm glad that you binged it so you could finish 30 minutes, the last 30 minutes of a season. I'm calling you out.
I told you. That's fine.
No, but there was another book that we talked about.
I told you I have ADHD with,
the book you were supposed to
read? In 5 years?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you were going to read...
My Killer Vacation.
Yeah. No.
Oh, Mandy. DVR.
No.
Manda.
Thank you.
Oh, Mandy.
Oh.
If I do it, if I sing the song when I call you Mandy, is that okay?
Maybe. Maybe better than
you
just...
came and you gave without saying.
Mandy came?
Okay, they sing songs differently back then. They were worried about me when Mandy came.
Okay. Enough about coming.
Oh my god, I'm gonna spit that out on you.
That's what she said. I wanted to talk about, I had one other comment on the Bellinger sisters. You know, you're in love with Brendan Tagger, but you never know. Fox may overtake that.
I keep hearing
because we both have not read Hook, Line, and Sinker yet.
I think what's meant to be is that you're gonna fall in love with Fox.
Okay, I can get down with that.
So you'll have. So we're just going to steal the men from the Bellinger sisters.
That's fine with me, honestly.
Or we become the Bellinger sisters.
Oh,
I can be Piper,
totally and I'll fine. Be Hannah. That's fine.
It's totally fine.
I'm fine with that.
I don't mind.
For a second, I thought you really. I'm
just scratching my head.
I thought you were. What is that? Like, walk like an Egyptian. Your hands. Oh man, we have reached digression. We better wrap this up.
I mean, we are at the very end of our picture, so.
Yeah, we
God, both, I love this drink.
That was so good. Like, okay, so how would you rate this as far as, because I know originally Sweet Heat was both our favorites. Mm. And then One Night Stand kind of took over. But man, this was, we just keep getting better and better.
We do. Only thing is, now that we're down a picture of this, this isn't going to make sense to anybody else. I wish there was more vodka in it. I'm just thinking about that. About halfway through, I was like, man, this needs to be kicked up a little bit more.
We need to kick this up a notch.
As if I really need more liquor right now.
Right? I'm like right on the cusp of not needing any more vodka, but maybe I could.
Right?
Okay, so any other...
Nope, that's everything I got.
Final thoughts. Final thoughts, Xander. Final notes. Xander, we can't wait. I thought you were about to say Xanax, and I was...
Xanax. I can't wait for Xanax.
Very confused by that.
Xander, I can't wait for his story.
Is there a title for that, for his book? I forget. Harlot something?
I forget what it was. Like, Never Gonna Give You Up. Never gonna let you... I'm pretty certain that's not it. But I still think it's excellent just to go there every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a brand new series. So
it is.
I don't actually know.
Well, regardless, it's going to be about Xander and there's some sort of
a
title.
Hideaway Heart.
Hideaway Heart. Why was I thinking Heartlet?
A heart. Harlot. I don't know.
Hideaway
Runaway
Heart.
Runaway Love and Hideaway okay, Heart. Okay. Oh, so maybe away is going to be the... recurring word in the titles, maybe. Could change. Don't quote me on that.
All right. Put this on the official record. I am not quoting Tony on that.
Ooh, yay. Finally, something I said won't be held against me.
Ouch.
No, not from you. I didn't just mean from you. I'm sorry.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying, because I was like, wait a minute. All of a sudden, Tony takes out this CVS receipt length of notes of all
why
these things.
Why are those that, so long? Right?
Like, why? No I can't reason. Understand why they're so long, and they literally have nothing on them.
And do you know that receipts contain the same, what's that chemical that is in, like, everybody's worried about in water bottles, the...
Oh, BPH?
BPA, yeah.
BPH? No, that's a medical term.
I don't know what BPH is.
You don't want to know.
Blood per
BPA.
Hour, BPAs is also on receipts. So people are...
Really?
Yeah, apparently on that receipt paper. I don't know.
They need to just do away with receipts altogether.
They didn't come up with a different way to kind of do things, but a lot of people still keep them in itemizing and stuff.
I'm sorry. You have green on your face now.
It's whatever was on the bottom of my glass.
I don't understand. It's like a green freckle. Look at it. What is that? And where did it come from?
Where did it come from? I don't know.
Look, hold up your glass.
Bottom
of your glass.
There's nothing green on, like, I'm so confused.
There's nothing on your coaster.
See, it's on my glass. I don't know.
Anyways, okay, I think you got the green frick.
Maybe it's paint. Maybe I've been drinking paint all night.
Oh, no.
Maybe I've been drinking paint all my life. That would explain a lot.
Okay, too far, too far.
Damn it. Always take it too far.
Always too far. Okay.
All right, Amanda.
We're gonna wrap this up. If I can get my words, make sure you wrap it up. One last thing.
Yeah.
Speaking of wrapping it up.
Yeah.
They didn't wrap it up at the very, very end. I kind of take issue.
You're getting me on a
tangent now. Are we going on a soapbox now?
Okay. So
you
know
this 30 seconds
already.
And go.
Oh no, I have a timer.
Just kidding.
Yeah, so we've talked about this before, that I am not a fan of the surprise pregnancy thing.
Right.
Accidental. In some cases. Like, sometimes it's fine. Sometimes it just lends itself to a story. It's not a big thing. But when it becomes, like, apparent that there's, like, a theme in a book, and then they're like, oh, I was with somebody for all these years and we can never get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're with somebody new and bam.
Surprise.
Or, so specifically, I just read this book. I don't want to say the title because I don't want to ruin it for other people,
yeah,
but
no worries.
I read this book where the main character had literally been with, 3 or 4 different guys, mm-hmm. and had never gotten pregnant with any of them because she has PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome, which is something I have. So I mm-hmm. have always, well, not always, but for many years, I'm like, I don't think kids will ever happen for me, right? So it breaks my heart to read in a book when the main character has something like PCOS or has some issue that they don't think they're going to get pregnant, and then they end up pregnant on like a, oh, we just randomly decided not to have protected sex one time, and then you get pregnant with somebody else. I'm like, I feel like that is so far out of the realm of realistic. And I feel like mm-hmm. it lends itself to like a false hope for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that it happens for some people, but the percentage of people it happens for versus the people it happens
way lower,
have,
way right. lower has to be.
So that's my soapbox about it. But
no, I get it.
I'm just,
well, and I think that,
so I thought this was going to happen.
Yeah. And I could kind of see it happening too, because yeah. I honestly think it's a reoccurring, it's a very common theme, and it's gone. The green freckle is gone. I think it's a very common theme in smut or spicy books,
right.
is that it's like they use protection the whole time, and then all of a sudden, like towards the end or towards like a very heated moment, they're like, I'm actually okay if we don't use condoms. Like, I'm okay. Yep. I'm okay. And I'm like, it's
every time we
just
do that,
a little bit
I'm
old for me.
The whole, it's okay not to use a condom means we're going to end up pregnant. Mm-hmm. Like the fact that they're bringing it up, the authors bring it up in topic.
Right. Right. So anyways, we just kind of went off of wrap it up there.
wrapping up the podcast and we end up talking about condoms.
Okay, we talked about wrapping up of the dick and now we are talking wrapping up of the podcast.
Like, so for instance, in a place where
wrapping it up.
We're not done. We're not done with this topic.
That's fine. That's fine.
I think that you will probably agree mm-hmm. with me.
Tell me.
Like, I liked the way that Friends did it, where Ross and Rachel got pregnant. They
should
protection.
Put that on the box.
They should put it in bigger letters.
In bigger letters.
Right.
No, I agree.
I thought that was a way better way of handling rather than going, hey, this one time we're not going to have protected sex and then wham, bam, you're pregnant. Like, duh. Mm-hmm. But for, you know, if you're going to like say that there was an accident somewhere, it kind of comes later. Hey, well, they're not 100%, right?
Nope,
like
never 100%.
That's a much easier way to kind of handle that topic, I think, than... Yeah. I've had unprotected sex for years and I never thought I could get pregnant. And all of a sudden I have sex with you one time and bam, I'm pregnant.
I'm pregnant. Like, and you just happen to be the perfect person for me too. And
I that's how I got that pregnant. That happens sometimes, but
it's
just
saying, gotta be
it's so
rare.
Minor
it's
in comparison. So
rare. So rare.
Yes. So anyways, I digress. But I'm not like anti-babies. I'm not anti-pregnancy in books. I'm none of that. It's just specifically when, like,
we all have our own
preferences.
You're talking
about it the whole book.
Yeah, we all have our own preferences and things that we just really don't want to read about. And I can completely commiserate with that. So thank you for sharing
that. I do love a good single dad, though. A good single dad.
Oh, boy, do I. I've always... now this is going to get me on one of my...
Do it.
I actually really enjoy the single dad trope because... I've always like wanted to have kids and always wanted to be a mother, but I haven't ever, been in the position or the opportunity to do so. But more recently, I've actually really been inclined to like want to be a stepmom. Hmm. And so I've had that for probably, I would say like the last 5 years. That's been something that I'm like, I don't know, maybe this is something that, God is like, hey, you should start thinking about this because it might be in your future. Like, I never know. Like, we don't ever know, like, what's in the future for us. But I love that. I love that about Austin and Veronica because I'm like, it's never like a guarantee that you're going to have your own kids. Like, yes, I've always wanted to get married and have kids from like a very young age. I was probably like 16 when I first started like having those desires. And here I am, 31. But it can come in very unconventional ways too. It doesn't necessarily mean it's your own kids. Like you could be a very, influential step parent. And I think that,
or adoptive.
Yeah, I think that so many ways. Aside from just a classic nuclear family, I think that it's great to give, those unconventional ways that you become a parent more space.
Yes.
And so that's just like my little tidbit on, step parenting. I think that a step parent could be so hugely influential to the right kid. And sometimes I just think that I would love to be that.
Yeah. But
anyways, before I get too mushy,
I know we each have our little opinions
we have
about
our things
and I love
we have
it.
Our things. We'll try to maintain or refrain and keep that for the next chick chat. But, this has been a fun episode.
This was fun.
So thanks for joining us on the Chiclet and Libations podcast with your hosts, Amanda
and Tony.
Subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Anchor, or Stitcher. Catch our next episode where we discuss To Hate Adam Connor by Ella Mays. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love for you to subscribe, share, rate, and leave a review. Don't forget to connect with us on Instagram at Chiclet and Libations, where you'll find our drink recipes, show notes, upcoming books, and so much more. We are Lit Chicks reviewing Chiclet. Stay spicy.